You can turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11. Mark, chapter 11. You saw Brother Tom and Brother Charles and I laughing about something earlier. We weren't joking or kidding. We don't do that. I'm being serious. In and around the worship service, we don't do that. This is too serious. We don't do that, do we, brother? What we were laughing about is I had a message prepared for this morning, and in the course of that message, I was going to go over and deal pretty extensively with Hebrews 2, which talks about the Lord delivering us from the fear of death. Well, last night on the way home, Dad told me that he was going to preach this morning from Hebrews 2 on the Lord delivering us from the fear of death. So I had another message with me. And that's what we were laughing about. I have another message, and it's all the same message. Doesn't matter where you take your text, does it? Spurgeon one time said that to his preachers. He said, if you have trouble knowing what to preach, get out of the pulpit. Don't get up there. You're not called to preach. But we have one message. But he said, if you have trouble knowing where to preach it from, where to go, now that's another story. And I mean, we look for a text, don't we, Brother Charles? But we've got one message. One message. Christ. Now, this story is recorded three times in Scripture. And if something is recorded once, it's important. But three times, there must be something more than meets the eye. Something more. And this is the story of our Lord sending His disciples to fetch a colt for Him to ride into Jerusalem. Recorded three times. Now, there's nothing written in God's Word for mere information. Nothing. There's nothing written for mere history. Nothing. There are no insignificant details, are there? Everything has been divinely recorded. And I marvel. And this is one way I am certain this is God's Word. I marvel when I consider how every word which the Lord Jesus Christ spoke, every step He took, was predetermined before the world began and written in a book. And He came here and fulfilled every jot and tittle of that and more that were not written, or the world could not contain the book. And every type and symbol that you, as you know, in the Old Testament, every picture proves who He was and tells the story of this so great salvation. That's what this book is all about. And everything He did and said, every miracle He performed, and every gesture, every step, every word, everything was to that end and to that purpose, to save His people. And I want you to see with me, I hope the Lord will help us, how that this passage, the Lord riding into Jerusalem on this colt, is not only a fulfillment of Scripture. Zechariah 9 says that the Christ will come riding into Jerusalem, meek and lowly, riding on a colt, the foal of an ass, having salvation. But I want you to see with me, this is a story of salvation. Now look at verse 1 of Mark, not Hebrews 2, Mark 11. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, the Lord sendeth forth two of His disciples. He sent two men on a mission. Now, the Lord, as you know, sent His disciples out by twos to preach the gospel. And wherever the Lord had an elect people, wherever He had a people, He sent them to preach. And it's so today. Wherever God has a people, He sends preacher. That gives me great hope for this place, doesn't it, you, Brother Tom? Great hope. He sends a preacher. Scripture says that faith cometh by hearing. and hearing by the Word of God, or that is, the preaching of the Word, because it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That's the means which God uses. And He sends His preacher to preach the Word, to preach the Gospel, Peter said. This is the Word, which by the Gospel. And wherever the Lord has a people, He sends His preachers. How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? So the Lord sent these two fellows to on a mission. He sent them to fetch something for Him. All right, look at verse 2. He said unto them, go your way into the village over against you, on the other side. And as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied. You go, I'm sending you on a mission. You go, and you shall find. Now, there's the common old argument against God's sovereign grace. Why preach? If you believe that, if I believe that, then why preach? Don't they say that? You've heard people argue that. If you believe only the elect are going to be saved, then why preach? You've heard that, haven't you? They say, if I believe that, I wouldn't know. If you believe that, you'd do what I'm doing. Right? We preach. Why? Why do we preach? Because the Lord said to. Right? Go into all the world and preach. All right, that's the command. That go preach. And because the Lord said, you shall find. My sheep hear my voice. Go, preach. I have a sheep out there. I'm more encouraged to preach in knowing that the Lord's sheep will hear His voice. Not just thinking there's a chance that somebody might accept Him or something. Aren't you, brother? Would you fish in a pond where you knew there were fish? Well, the Lord says, go and you shall find. You shall find. God's elect will be found because they will be where He puts them. They are where He puts them. God's people will be found where He puts them. I love where the Scripture says a certain man or a certain woman, says that all through Scripture, doesn't it? And a certain man which had an infirmity, or a certain woman which had an infirmity, a certain man lying by a pool, a certain man, a certain woman was at a well one day. And because that's where the Lord brought her. He's going to meet her. That's one of His elect. A certain fellow was up a tree one day, wasn't it? A son of Abraham. Brother John, years ago, preached on old Zacchaeus, and he entitled that message, up a tree on purpose. I'll never forget that. How many sycamore trees were throughout the land that day? At that time? Lots of them. But the Lord had him up a certain tree that he was going to pass under. Because this was one of His elect. One of His chosen. He had him where He put him. Out in the desert in a chariot. There's nobody out there. Oh yeah, there's one. Go and ye shall find. There's no accidents with the sovereign Lord. You're not here by accident. The lot is cast into the lap. You decided to come here. The lot is cast into the lap. But let me tell you, the Lord purposed it long ago. There are no accidents with the Lord. The disposing thereof is of the Lord. And He says, go and ye shall find. Now what an encouragement that is to preach, isn't it? I started to quit putting these messages on the sermon audio the other day. I put the last one on about number 50 or 51. That's not many, really, compared to. But I put it on there and I thought, that's it. I'm not doing it anymore. And I hadn't checked my mailbox yet. But Charles went up and checked the mailbox. It was from a listener, and it was just bless my heart, Chris. He said, I turned it on by the Lord's providence, and I said, well, I think I'll keep doing it. Guess I'll keep doing it. Go and you shall find. Look at this. Look what he found. Verse 2. Go and you shall find a colt tied.
a coat. And over in Luke's Gospel and Matthew, it calls this colt a foal of an ass. A colt, the foal of an ass. Now, if there are any horse people in here, a colt is an ungelded male animal, horse, or in this case, it's a donkey. An ungelded donkey, a wild colt, the foal of an ass or a donkey, ungelded. Now this colt here is a good description of an unbroken sinner. Unbroken sinner. It says here in verse 2, whereon never man sat. He was unbroken, nobody could ride him. Nobody had ridden him, he hadn't been ridden. He hadn't been broken. He's unbroken, and he's wild. He's a foal of a wild donkey. Now, God's Word is so plain in describing mankind by nature. God's Word is so clear. God's Word doesn't say anything good about us by nature, does it? Nothing. It says things like this: from the sole of our foot to the crown of our head, there's no soundness in us. And Scripture says that all together, you put them all together, unprofitable. Filthy is what the Word said. Together, they're unprofitable. Scripture says they're dead in trespasses and sin. Barnard used to say graveyard dead. That means stinking dead. What they said about Lazarus, didn't he? Lord, he's dead. How dead? By now, he's stinking dead. You don't want to dig him up. And Scripture says, doesn't say anything good about us, does it? It's called a looking glass, isn't it? James said, when you behold your face in a glass, this book is like a mirror. Any of you ladies have those magnifying mirrors? I bet every one of you have them. Don't you? Well, my wife had one, and I was using it so much, she just bought me my own. I bet some of you men had one, too. But anyway, I wish she'd never bought me that thing. Every time I look in it, I look worse. I look older. I see more. What do you see when you look real close in a mirror? What do you see? When you take a real good look at yourself, what do you see? What does a mirror show you? Beauty? Loveliness? Comeliness? No. Corruption. Ugliness. Every blemish. More blemishes every day, don't you? You see. That's God's Word doesn't say anything good about us, does it? Thank God it's a two-way mirror, huh? We see another face, the glory of God, and another face. Altogether lovely face. He said, I want to look like that. But anyway, God's Word. In Job 11, verse 12, it says this very thing. It says, man is born like a wild ass's colt. Unbroken. Man was made for God's glory. Man was made for the glory of God. To live for His glory. To speak things for His glory. To work for His glory. That's what man was made for. The glory of God. He's come far short of that glory. In every respect, man has come far short of that glory. As a matter of fact, he hadn't glorified him at all. In no way. Doesn't even think about God. God's not in all of his thought, man. Man, you know, man is all the least that man could do unto God is to thank him. That's the least man could do. God feeds him, God clothes him, God waters him, God provides for him, God does all these things all his life for him. God said in Isaiah 1, I've raised up a children, and they've rebelled against me. All they've ever done. Romans 1 says they did not like to think of God wasn't in their knowledge, neither were they thankful. That's the least we can do unto God for His glory and His honor. We don't do it. You try to bring somebody. Why do we meet here? What's the purpose for us meeting here? Huh? It's to worship God, isn't it? That's it. We need no other reason. We don't need any other reason to be here but to thank God for who He is and what He's done for. and you try to bring somebody, just anybody, to come worship God, and you watch them start bucking and kicking and fighting and biting. Isn't that right? But I just come with me. We're just gonna sing God's praises, and we're gonna look into God's Word, hear what God has to say. I was that way, weren't you? Bucking and kicking and fighting. You tell these, and you begin to preach the truth to people. You tell these sweet religious people what God's Word says about it. The truth of God's Word. And watch them start raising their back up like a horse ready to buck. A colt tied. We got a man in here who's Brother Kelly Pendry is with us here. He's a member of our church, and he's a horse trainer. That's his business. That's what he does for a living. And we talk about this all the time. But folks think, and people bring their horses to him all the time for him to break them. And everybody thinks their horse is a good horse. You know, he's a good horse. Kelly tells me this. She's a good mare. She really is a good mare. And come to find out, all they've ever done to that mare is pet her, feed her, water her. She's never done anything. Just a big pet. Well, who wouldn't be good? You know. But when he begins to start training that horse, when he asks that horse or gives that horse something to do, that's why horses are created. Horses weren't created for pets. They were created to be ridden, to bear burdens, right? And he says, the minute you begin to just get that horse to do something, it starts bucking, starts kicking, starts biting. Its real nature comes out. Well, he's a good horse. No, he's not. There's no such thing. And as I said, you tell the average person, you know, people are sweet, religious, moral, you know, kind. You run into them, don't you? And you tell them what Scripture really says about them. You tell them who God really is, and watch them start bucking. That's true. And man is not a sweet, kind creature by nature. So this is a colt, and it says he's tied. You see that? He's tied up. Somebody owns him and has him captive. He's wild, but somebody owns him, and he's tied up. You know, I have to laugh. If it weren't so sad, it'd be funny. At young people today, and my generation was virtually the same, but, you know, you see young people today, all and the older people, all covered with, they've mutilated their bodies and all of this that they do to themselves. And you say, why are you doing that? Because I'm free. Because I'm my own man, you know. Right. You're doing what everybody else is doing. They tell you to drill a hole in your tongue, you'll do it. Man, oh man. Is man not ever a captive to sin, to Satan? This is what Scripture says. They're held captive by him at his will. Isn't that what Scripture said? But God might peradventure, if he's merciful, if he's gracious, turn one of these wild colts loose from being what they think is free. Tied up. Look where he's tied. It said, look at verse 2. It says he's colt tied whereon never man sat. And the Lord said, you loose him and bring him to me. There's only one hope for this wild ass's colt. You bring him to me. Loose him. You know, self-proclaimed preachers, Pharisees that is, like to bind heavy burdens on people, don't they? Impose rules and regulations and laws and so forth which Scriptures don't teach. The Lord said that. They bind heavy burdens and which the Scriptures doesn't teach, and they won't with one finger loose them, lift them.
Well, the Lord tells His disciples, you go, you will find, and you loose him, and you bring him to me. You bring him to me. What we do is we preach Christ. That's all we do. We don't make stipulations or mind burdens on people. Well, if you do this, you got to do that. No, sir. We point them to Christ, don't we? Point them to Christ. Behold the Lamb. Well, here's His instruction. Verse 3. Now, if any man say unto you, why do ye this? If anybody questions you, why are you doing this? You say, the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him to me. He will. You go. If anybody say, what are you doing? Why are you doing it? What's this all about? Why preach? What's the meaning of this? Because the Lord said, do this, and the Lord hath need of him. Now listen carefully. The Lord doesn't need anyone. You know that, don't you? The Lord doesn't need us. The Lord doesn't need wild, unbroken colts, does it? However, to fulfill His word, which says, behold, thy King cometh. On this ass, this colt, the foal of the ass, to fulfill God's word, He must bring him. He must. He needs him to fulfill His word, doesn't he? And because this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, He must bring them. Then His sheep must come, mustn't they? Our Lord said, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them I must bring. His glory is at stake, His word's at stake, His power is at stake, His wisdom at stake. We talk about God's love. Whoever He loves, He's going to save. The glory of His love is at stake. Whoever He calls, they will come. The glory of His power to bring them is at stake, isn't it? They will come. They will come. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad the Lord gave commandment to save you? That's what the psalmist says. The Lord gave commandment to save me. Aren't you glad? Come. I have a dog at home, Abner. Oh, I love that dog. And I taught him well. And buddy, he comes when I call him. He comes. When I say come, he comes. Now that's a tribute to my ability as a master of dogs. Now we, on the other hand, we have another little dog. Well, you've probably seen it already. It's Mindy's dog, really. And I can say, come. I can say, won't you please come? Pretty please come. That's her dog. But my dog comes when I call him. And God's people come when they call him. He gives commandment. It's a tribute to His power and His ability as a master. They will come. He said, they will come. They must. Them I must bring. So He needs them in that sense. And the Lord is going to get great glory in riding this unridden, unbroken colt. Stay with me now. Are you with me? It's going to be a blessing. Verse 4. So they went their way. And they found the colt tied by the door. Just like the Lord said. Now look at this. Every word is significant. They found him tied by the door in a place where two ways met. Now this unbroken, wild colt is tied up by the door. He's not in the door. He's outside the door. And he's tied up in a place where two ways meet. One way is going to go away from Christ. And the other way is going to come to Christ. Which way that colt going to go? Scripture says there is a way that seems right unto man. This is what I think. It's wrong every time. Every time. It leads to destruction. It leads away from Christ, doesn't it? Every time. No matter what that way is. Religion. The new way. We got a new way. There's one way. And there's one path. There's old paths in there, Brother Charles. One way. It's always been one way.
Christ is that way. And there's one way that He brings us. He gives the command by the gospel, preaching the gospel, to bring in the man. So his coat is tied up by the way, where two ways meet. Two ways. Well, they went and they loosed him. And certain of them, whoever it was that owned this colt, verse 5, said unto them, "What are you doing? You can't do that. Why do you loosen the colt?" And this is all they said unto them. They did as Jesus had commanded them. In other words, they said, they just repeated what He said. If they say, "What are you doing?" you say, "The Lord said, let him go." So they did. The Lord told them to say that. Don't do anything else. Don't bribe them. Don't plead with them. Don't beg them. Don't say, "Well, if you'll do this, we'll give you this." Don't do that. Just tell them, "Thus saith the Lord." And stand back and you watch them. Watch them come. Moses stood before Pharaoh. Now, Pharaoh's the most powerful man on the earth. King of the world, as it were. Right? He has God's people under his control, doesn't he? Or does he? Huh? No, the king's heart is in the hands of the Lord. And Pharaoh, or Moses, God's messenger, went to the face of Pharaoh and stood in front of him and said, "Thus saith the Lord, let my people go." Not some mealy-mouthed, effeminate fellow, you know, "Won't you please, won't you please?" He said, "No, sir. Let my people go. Thus saith the Lord, let them go." Did he? He sure did. Where the word of the king is, there's power. Just tell preachers, what are we to do? What are we to do? Beg and plead with people? No, sir. Our God's not a beggar, neither are we. Huh? What are we to do? How are they going to come? Preach the word. Preach the word. Ezekiel, can these bones live? Lord, thou knowest. I can't do it. Then do this. Prophesy. Preach. And watch them. Stand back. Stand still. Somebody said, and see the salvation of the Lord. Well, they did. Let them go. Let them go. Oh, you know, Satan and devils are subject to his will. Oh, Scripture says, I quoted it to you partly, that that the people are held captive by him at his will, but Satan's subject to God's will. He's God's devil. Uh-huh. Read the book of Job, first two chapters. And he must loose them. And they did. They loosed them. Look at verse 6. They loosed him. And verse, as the Lord commanded, they let them go. And look at verse 7. And the Scripture says, "Thy people shall be willing." Verse 7. They brought the colt to Christ. They brought that colt to Christ. Now, I'm just confident they didn't have to drag it. They didn't have to coerce it. They didn't have to promise it grain. Kelly, people do that all the time, don't they? Well, if you give it a treat, you know. If you're a good master, you don't have to do all that. I'm just certain they didn't have to pull it, bribe it, beg it, plead with it, and neither do you have to do that with God's people. Thy people shall be willing when? In the day of thy power. Watch them come. You preach and you watch them come. Stand back and watch the Lord bring them. Don't have to brag. And if the Spirit of God, if the Holy Spirit of God is working, you don't have to strike while the iron's hot. You know what I'm talking about. You've heard that before, haven't you? Now, why everybody heads bowed? Don't disturb the Spirit. How weak is the Spirit anyway? There's a young lady. A mother brought her 13-year-old daughter in to see me a couple of days ago. And evidently the Lord's dealing with her. But this has been happening for a couple of weeks. And I could have gotten that girl to make a decision. Easy. I believe I could get every one of our young people to make one. I'm just quite certain I could talk them into it. But I don't want to do that. I want to know this is of the Lord. And the little girl wanted, and she told me, she said, I just want to be sure. Oh, I wish you could have heard. She said, I want to just want to be sure that this is the Lord's doing it. I want to make a false profession. I said, well, I told her what the Lord said, you know. He that believeth and is baptized, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Didn't give her anything to do. Believe. And I just told her, go home, you keep calling on the Lord and ask Him to say unto your soul, I am thy salvation. I know that if the Holy Spirit's working on her, if the Holy Spirit's moving on her today, He'll be doing it tomorrow. He'll be doing it next week. It's just, if it's of the Lord, she's going to come. She's going to confess Christ. The Spirit is sovereign. In the day of His power, they come. Verse 7, they brought the colt to Christ, and it says they cast their garments on Him. They cast their garments on Him. Now, not only will all who come to Christ be clothed by Christ Himself in His righteousness, but God's people, as Christ is, so are they. God's people will shower them with love and affection, or literally give them the shirt off their backs. Won't they, Brother Kim? They did it to me. When this prodigal came home, the people treated me. Chris, they treated me. When this prodigal came back, by God's grace, by the command of the Father, the people there, they treated me like I wasn't any worse than they were. That's what God's people do. Because that's how they got there. That's how they were. Sinners. Saved by His grace. And when the prodigal comes home, he's given the best robe. And then the Lord laid hold of that animal. They brought that colt. Are you with me? A few more minutes, okay? The Lord laid hold of that animal. He brought him to Christ. And the Lord laid hold of that unbroken wild ass's colt. Sam, years ago, we bought my daughter a horse about 12, 13 years ago. Well, my father, her grandfather. Grandfathers do these things. Helped her buy a horse. And anyway, we bought this horse one farm later. Now, we bought this horse for my daughter. And it was a young colt, 8 weeks old, unbroken. Now, Kelly, that's just not, people, if you're going to, let me tell you from experience, if you're going to buy your daughter or granddaughter a horse, don't buy a young, unbroken animal. Don't do it. Right, Kelly? Buy an old 14-year-old gelding. Broken. Dead broke. Dead broke. That way when its father gets on its back to break it. This is what happened, Sam. That colt, when he got up to age, about 2 years old, and I was working with it. It's a good horse. It's a good horse. Why, he's a kind horse, sweet horse. No problem here, Chris. Okay. One day, Dad, I was by myself. And put a saddle on it. I've been putting a saddle on it. Got that far. Been putting a saddle on it. Okay. I put that saddle on it one day. Nobody's around. And I got a bucket and stood on it. I'm not tall. I've come short. I've always been short. Got on that bucket and I got on that horse. And you know what happened? I really don't hardly remember the rest. I do remember waking up on the ground on the flat of my back. He kicked me off, bucked me off. Well, the Lord laid hold of this colt. Nobody's ever ridden this thing. And maybe somebody said, you can't ride that horse. Nobody's ever ridden that horse. You can't do it. And the Lord sat on him. And what did that colt do? Nothing. It bowed its head. Kelly will tell you, this is what you look for in a broken animal. Start bowing its head in humility. Bowed its head, submitted to the bit and the bridle, submitted to being ridden by the Master. Willing. Oh my. Thy people shall be willing. There are people that, you and you preachers know this, there are people you run into that come hear the gospel and you think, it'll take a miracle to save him. It'll take a miracle to save anybody. The greatest miracle is when he dealt with me. 19-year-old boy recently. Well, he'd been coming with one of our young ladies. And now you're going to know who this is, Nancy. 19-year-old boy who was coming with one of our young ladies because he was, you know, after this girl. That's why he came. He's coming with her, and he was raised in free will religion, Southern Baptist. And he heard this message, and he hated it. He hated it. And he told her he hated it. And she didn't. She confessed Christ. She loved the gospel. And so they were butting heads all the time. Finally, she said, we can't walk together. And he didn't come back. And she finally went off to college. Well, lo and behold, one day, he came in on his own. And he sat back row. Didn't say anything after the message. Left. Came back the next Sunday. And the next. And the next. And then he had to go off to college, to school. I got a letter from him the other day. He said, I don't know why I had to write you, but I just had to. He said, I'm such an unworthy sinner, and I don't deserve this God's mercy, but I believe the Lord's dealt with me. He said, you know, and he kept saying things like that. He said, you know, nobody around me believes like I do now. Well, you can't ride that horse. Yes, you what? That's just the ones he rides. That's the ones he saves. That proves who he is. The Lord sat on it. Now, the Lord didn't, and he rode him into town. This was no long, arduous journey. Oh, no. Christ said, my burden is light. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. The Lord didn't lay a heavy burden on that young colt, did he? And young people, the Scripture says it's good to bear the yoke in your youth. It's not Sam and Gavin and others. I was telling you about when, you know, my parents, I thought it was torture for them to bring me. You know, this is exactly what I love to do now. This is what I want to do. It really is. But his yoke is easy. His burden, the way of the transgressor is hard. Scripture says that. The way keeping up with the Joneses is what's hard. The Lord's yoke is easy. His burden is light, isn't it? Isn't it? It's pleasurable. The best way. And all this horse was called to do, you know all he was called to do? You know why the Lord got him and broke him. You know what he was doing, John? Now, from here on, all he was called on to do was to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. Well, and he rode him into town. Now, why did he choose a wild ass's colt? Look at this, and I close. Verse 9. They went before the Lord, and they followed. Went into town. Verse 8. Spread their garments in the way. Cut down branches. Went into town. And they followed, and the people cried out, saying, Hosanna, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the high. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Here comes the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. All glory to the Lord in the high. That's what they were saying when he rode into town on this colt. Blessed be the name of the Lord. All glory be unto the Lord. To the Lord. To the Lord. Why didn't the Lord ride a big noble steed into town? Why didn't the Lord choose a big white stallion to ride into town? Why didn't he? Because there wasn't one person anywhere saying, "Would you look at that donkey?" Nobody paid one bit of attention to that donkey. What an animal. Would you see? Look at what he... No, sir. No flesh is going to glory in his presence. We're not going to say, "Would you look? There's Abraham. Look, Moses, Elijah." That's what they saw, didn't they, on that mount. That's all they saw. Moses, Elijah. Our Lord said, "No, this is my son." And in glory. Brother John and I were talking about being short, and we said, in that day, we're all going to be the same height. Equal. Full head of hair, huh, John? All going to be equal, but there's one that's going to stand head and shoulders above us for all to see. Right? All glory to the one who rides wild asses colts. Okay, may the Lord bless his word.